local congregation, Grand Mesa Baptist Church, supports at least currently 5 Christian community ministries in the local area. Gideon's International is one of those 5 that we support through either prayer or financing or physical help or all 3 with all of these ministries. I'm honored to introduce our speaker this morning, who's Walt Sebring. Walt and his wife, Judy, who will be up here in a minute. They live in Delta, and Walt's the president of the local chapter of Gideon's International. Gary Griffith, right? He's the secretary. He's here, secretary. And I'd like to also remind ourselves that Don Rapp, hi Don, in the back, and Dale and Janet have been a part of Gideon's International in the past, so quite some involvement from this church. You know, we've just finished singing one of my favorite songs, Ancient Words. I can't think of a more appropriate set of lyrics to introduce Walt this morning. Let's recall, allow me to read that first verse again. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Walt, would you come up, please? We want to welcome you this morning as a speaker, and thank you for watching.
Thank you so much.
I don't know what just happened. So. I wanted to welcome Walt here this morning and introduce him to you all. And Walt, I'd like to pray for you if you'd allow me to.
That's
me
wonderful.
Father in heaven, thank you this morning for what Walt and Judy do here in this in your kingdom here in Western Colorado, and for everything that Gideon's International is. I pray that you be with Walt this morning, make his voice clear, help us to understand the value of the ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here today, and it's because of someone just like you who placed a testament that I'm able to be here today. I grew up in a small town of Kentucky. My parents were extremely young. My mom, when I was 4 years old, decided that my brother and I no longer deserved to live and attempted to take our lives. Because of this, the state of Kentucky stepped in and put us into foster care, where I spent the next 6 years moving from home to home. Lived in about 15 different foster homes, and at the age of 10, had no idea of what it was to feel loved or cared for, and already was beginning to have thoughts of suicide. At the age of 10, a family stepped in from Chicago, Illinois, and said that we want to adopt these boys, and they did. And they brought us to Chicago in the promise of a new home and a new start and a brighter future. Unfortunately, that hope was short-lived, as my adoptive parents also turned out to be very abusive. At the age of 15, I decided I'd had enough, and kind of made this deal with God. And I didn't even really believe in God. I didn't know who God was. I kind of thought God was like the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus, you know, something that people believe in, but when the rubber hits the road, he doesn't really exist. But I made this deal with him, and I said, if my life's not better by this day, I'm calling it quits, and you're gonna have to clean up the mess. And that day came, and it was one of the worst days of my life up to that point, and I just decided to call it quits, and I tried to end my life. And if not for the grace of God, I wouldn't be standing here before you today. And it was during my stay, I ended up in a hospital for 8 weeks, and it was during my stay that I met this nurse. Her name was Lori Ann. She was only on our unit this one night, and me being a 15-year-old who was very impressionable, she was kind of cute. She looked at me at the end of her shift and she said, "You look like someone who really needs the Lord." And she handed me a testament. I don't remember what I read that night, but I remember sitting down on the edge of the bed and kind of looking through the testament. And I prayed this prayer. I said, "God, if you're real, I need to know you. I need you to come in and change my life." And the most extraordinary thing happened. The best way to describe it is like I had been shivering my whole life, kind of like when you're in the cold and you've been shivering a long time. I'd been shivering my whole life, and all of a sudden in that moment when I prayed that prayer, the shivering stopped. And it scared me because I knew something had happened. I didn't know then, but now I know it was the peace of God. And God came in, and that nurse could have just said to me, "You need the Lord," but she had a tool to place into my hands to make a difference. I'd love to tell you that my life got better from there, but it kind of got worse. It was like taking steps backward to take forward. My adoptive parents didn't like my newfound faith, but God began this work in me, and over time, the good began to win out, and God began to orchestrate an incredible plan that, honestly, today, my wife and I will be sitting around the table just talking about what God's done, and it blows our mind, the things that he can do. So I heard a speaker earlier saying, can one Bible, can one Testament make a difference? I am here today extremely grateful for what you do because it made a difference in my life. So thank you so very much.
A testimony basically is the same way I came to the Lord. I challenged God and said, "God, I don't know if you're real, but I know I'm a sinner. But if you're real, I need to know it." And it was through the Bible. Eventually, I got messed up with the Mormons. And being messed up with the Mormons, my brother was visiting a Baptist bookstore in Durango, and he basically came and he told me, he says, "You know, the Mormons aren't Christians." And I said, "Well, you know, give me some material." And I started listening to these tapes from Walter Martin on Mormonism. And through that, I began to read the Bible to prove to my wife that the Mormons were Christians. And of course, the more I read, the more I realized this is a lie. They are not Christians. And it was through that that I eventually was born again. But anyway, the Gideon International, we're a ministry that's located around the world. In your bulletin, it tells a couple of three testimonies of the Gideon ministry. But it all started in 1899. Two men, John Nicholson and Samuel Hill, they met in a motel it was a hotel in those days, but they met in Wisconsin, and when they got there, it turned out that the clerk had over-rented the rooms, and there was only one bed left in the whole hotel, and that was in the room with Mr. Hill, and he asked if he would share that room with him, and they would split the rent for the two beds. Well, that's how they met. And that night when they got ready to turn out the lights, Hill said to Nicholson, "I actually would like to do my devotional before you turn out the lights." And he got his Bible out of his suitcase. Anyway, at that time, Hill said, "Oh, well, I'm a Christian too." And those two men meeting in that hotel that night was the beginning of the Gideon ministry. We didn't know it at that time. It was 10 years later, actually, in 1908, before a first Bible was ever placed in a hotel. That Bible was placed by the Gideons at that time in Superior Hotel Superior Hotel. Got to find my notes. In Idaho. And those Bibles were actually purchased by a Presbyterian church in Wisconsin. And the Gideons have ever since partnered with churches in helping finance the placing of God's Word. We are all born-again believers, members of local churches who share a vision of how to reach the lost. And by being born again, we're either businessmen or professional men. We are members of local churches, like I said. We are actually recommended to the Gideon Ministry through local pastors that testify to our worthiness to be used. And at that time, our wives are also referred to as the women's auxiliary of the Gideon Ministry. And we place Bibles in traffic lanes of life, primarily started with the hotels, and then in 1941, we actually began giving New Testaments to the military, and actually one of our very first distributions to the military was in Hawaii prior to the Japanese bombing Pearl Harbor. It was in 1959 that we started handing out scriptures in schools. And we use different colored scriptures, and the reason we do that is orange scriptures represent middle schools and high school kids. Green scriptures represent college students, and it helps the Gideons keep track of where our Bibles are actually being distributed. So anyway, in the college distribution began in about 1946, we started the school distributions in the grade schools. 1959, we started the distribution to college students, and at that time they cost 25 cents. In 72 is when we actually started the schools to colleges. In 2001, after 90 years of distributing the Bible, we actually distributed the first 1,000,000 Bibles. It only took 17 years, our first 1,000,000,000 Bibles, took 17 years from that to the point where we distributed 2 billion copies of the Bible. Today, we're in 120 nations around the world, and we present the gospel in 109 different languages. The last language that we added was actually a language to a group in India. That language was it's BRU, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, Bru language. And it turns out there was over 600,000 people speaking that language in India. If you want to roll that video on India, we'll...
It's a country with a population of 1.3 billion people. 80% of this population are Hindus. The devil has blinded their eyes, and they prefer to worship the creation. And while doing so, they have forgotten all about their creator. 15% of the population is Muslims who have made high and wide walls around them. And it's getting difficult and dangerous to breach that walls and get across the love of Jesus to them. In an environment like this, God has called 15,000 Gideons and 9,000 auxiliaries in India who share the love of Jesus fearlessly. And apart from that, distribute 13 million copies of the Word of God in 19 languages across the length and breadth of our country. Pastors, I want to tell you that the work of the Gideons and auxiliaries in India is not in vain. It is making a difference. Let me share with you about a young Muslim man by the name Abdul Qadir. Abdul Qadir accepted the copy of the Gideon New Testament not because he wanted to study and know about Jesus, but he wanted to find mistakes in that New Testament so that he can ridicule the Christian group in his college. He studied the Gideon's New Testament for more than a year. And at the end of that year, he concluded that Jesus Christ is not a rabbi, Jesus Christ is not a prophet, but Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. Abdul Qadir accepted Jesus in his life as his personal savior. He confessed his faith in open. He had to face the brunt of persecution, but our God is faithful. Today, he is Pastor Abdul Qadir, not just having his own church, but God has used him to plant 300 churches in South India. Pastors, it's not about one copy of the Word of God transforming one life, but it's about how God uses that one life to build it up and transform others around them. In India, we have a vision. Our vision is to have a Gideon camp in every county. And through that Gideon camp, bring the scriptures to the remotest community in the language which people can read and understand. And today, as I stand on this platform, I use this window of opportunity to thank you, pastors. Thank you, pastors and the churches of the United States. In India, out of 13 million scriptures, we pay for only 2.2 million scriptures. We thank you because it's your support and your partnership which enables the Gideons International to provide scriptures across the world, and India is one of those countries. Thank you so much, pastors.
We distribute Bibles in India in 25 different languages, and around the world, like you say, in 109 different languages. Today we distribute about every second, two Bibles somewhere in the world. When you multiply the number out, that's over 4 million Bibles every year. 4 million, that's not true. 4 million, every 4 days we distribute 1 million Bibles. This year, in 2024, the year that we're just finishing up now, it'll be a total of about 92 million Bibles this year that the Gideons has distributed worldwide. Locally in Colorado, we have about, I think it's close to 60 Gideon camps in Colorado. Here in the Delta County camp, we are about 20 different members in our camp today. And the different things we do in Delta County, we do school distributions. And I've given these numbers to Nick, so he's going to give you a report on that in one of these upcoming meetings. But anyway, he talked about we distributed at the schools. We distributed actually 48 scriptures at the middle school in Grand Junction in Delta, and about 40 at the high school. Our primary distribution in Delta County is actually in the like at Cherry Days in Peonia, and we've done distributions in Hotchkiss, and we here at the Apple Fest here in Cedar Ridge. Two years ago, we distributed close to 1,800 copies during that 2 days. Last year, we handed out about 1,000 copies of the Testaments, the smaller Gideon Bibles, the little pocket Testaments. The pocket Testaments, and I do need to thank this church especially for allowing us to participate with them during your Apple Fest, because the pastor has allowed us to be part of your booth here in town. We applied for years. We would just apply and get our own booth here in town. But when they reorganized Apple Fest a few years ago, because we didn't have a Cedar Ridge address, our address is in Austin, they wouldn't approve us. And your pastor did allow us to join this church during that Apple Fest, and we certainly do appreciate that. That's one way this church has been very faithful in participating with the Gideons and partnering with us and us with you. And that's been a real blessing. The Word of God, these little testaments, when you first open them up, they give a little spiel about who the Gideons are and the fact that we are ministering in so many countries around the world. The second part of this little testament are helps. These helps usually, when we're sharing the Bible with potential believers, it has helps in there, and these helps then help them find questions that they don't have answers to, but scriptural answers to their questions. These particular testaments are in the English Standard Version. And the reason we do that is because we don't have to pay a royalty to use the English Standard Version. And that saves the Gideons a nickel a copy on 92 million copies. That's a lot of savings. So also there's about 17 different, the Lord's Prayer is in the first front of these Bibles, and it's in 17 different languages. So there's been times when we would meet people from other countries, and if it's a major country, then we could read the Lord's Prayer in English and they could read it in their native tongue. And then, of course, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it's followed after Revelations with Psalms and Proverbs. And that's our primary testament that we've used for years with the schools. And our primary distribution of the full Bibles are at the hospital. We use the auxiliary are involved with our hospital distribution, and the auxiliaries visits doctor's offices and hands out white copies of the testaments to nurses. The hard copies, we primarily used them in hotels when we would put a book in a hotel, a Bible in a hotel. That Bible has a potential life of 7 to 8 years. It has the potential to reach about 23,000 individuals over the life of that Bible. We go in annually and check those Bibles, and if they're tore or the cover's been written in, a lot of times we see where kids have used it for a coloring book, but we replace those Bibles. And those Bibles, originally, we would have to take the covers off of them to be able to put them in the jails. Today, we're able to buy soft-covered Bibles for use in jails. Our jail ministry is another real important part of the Gideon ministry. And just last Thursday at the jail, we had the opportunity to lead a young man to the Lord in jail. He prayed with us. We prayed the sinner's prayer with him. And I've got a new Gideon that was there with me yesterday. His first time I think he'd ever seen anyone come to the Lord, that he was part of that miracle of a new born-again salvation. And it was an exciting time. He told me after jail, when we were talking out in front of the jail, about what do we do now, that and I said, well, the Lord told us to occupy until he comes, and that means find someone else to share Jesus with. So that's what we do. We share Jesus with them. Another part of the Gideon ministry is our card program. The Gideon card program basically raises about 20% of the funds that we raise for Gideons. 40% of the funds comes from churches, just like this church, and then another 40% come from Gideon, individual Gideons. But those monies, the monies that we raise for purchasing scriptures, then are provided through the Gideon funds. But for local distribution, when churches give, we receive 35% of the money we receive goes to buy local scriptures. That Bible that used to cost a quarter now costs $1.70. When we do international ministries, our Bibles cost $1.38. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and watch this last video. And then as we watch this, this is probably one of the most powerful testimonies I've heard from a Gideon, a man being saved in the Gideon Ministries. If you want to roll that one.
And I held my mother's gun to my head. And I wanted to blow my brains out all over her wall. You must ask the question, why would a 10-year-old child want to die? 10 is a time to dream of being an astronaut, of being a soccer star, a football player, a preacher, a pastor, a doctor. But for me, life was so horrific, with so much vitriol and pain, I wanted to die. I'm the product of interracial immigrants. My grandmother was tall, white, and thin from Germany, and we called her French fry. My grandfather was a big, burly black man from Cuba, and we called him Hamburger. Hamburger met French fry and created a Happy Meal. And these two immigrants produced 7 McNuggets with special sauce. We would joke that we would have Wiener Schnitzel with salsa for Thanksgiving. My grandfather had to hide the fact in the 1940s in America that he was married to a Caucasian woman. But one wedding anniversary, he had a flaw. He liked to drink overproof Cuban rum. And one evening he was inebriated. And a man saw them together and said to my grandmother, why would you be a nigger lover? My grandfather, with huge arms, lost his temper and hit the man in the jaw and broke his neck. The man didn't die, but he was injured severely. He went to the worst prison, convicted of the crime, Mansfield Reformatory in Ohio, locked down 23 hours a day. It hit the newspapers that my grandmother was married to this convicted felon and she lost her job. But being a German woman, she didn't complain or whine or woe is me. She began to work odd jobs, cleaning other people's houses and toilets, taking care of their children. But as she was working, she would have fainting spells, passing out doing her job. She went to the doctor and discovered that she had a tumor growing behind her left eye that was metastasizing to her brain. And the doctor said, we have to take out a third of your face, your eye. You will be malformed and disformed and disfigured for the rest of your life. What do you do with the American dream becomes an American nightmare? She could not work, she was sick and mutilated. My grandfather's in jail, and day by day, they lost everything that they had acquired. They lost their house, they lost their car, they lost their furniture, they lost their dignity, they lost their self-esteem, and they were living in the streets like animals. My three uncles got hooked on heroin. They belonged to a gang called the Devil's Disciple. And my entire family became atheistic. No God, no prayer, no Bible, no hope. And my mother, at age 14, was called by a pimp named Larry, who said to her, what is school doing for you? You are sitting on a gold mine. She said, where? He said, you're sitting on it. And we call this being turned out. And little by little, she began to sell her 14-year-old body to grown men for money to survive. It's called turning tricks. And at age 16, she got pregnant. We call it having a trick baby. Two strangers meet for a business transaction, and there's a mistake. The pimp said, you can't make any money having a baby in the oven. We have got to kill this baby. They kicked her in the stomach. They fed her alcohol. They gave her drugs. They took a hanger and stabbed the baby over and over again. But the baby would not die. The baby was born 2 months premature with no pancreas, a learning disability, a bladder too small, unable to function, a severe stutterer. We call it a trick baby. Nobody wants the baby. No hope, no future. Kill it was the word. That baby was me. I'm the lowest of the low. I come from the guttermost. I come from a hellish condition. And so when I would go to school, I couldn't talk. I stuttered so severely from the trauma. My mother had a madam who hated men. Her name was Dolores, and she was a sadist. And when she would watch me, she would take a broomstick and stick it in a place where no boy should have any object in his body. And when you are tortured like that, you learn four things. Don't talk, don't trust, don't feel, and pretend nothing is happening. And by age 10, I had had enough. I wanted to die. And in my school, they put me in a boiler room with other kids who were dysfunctional like me, where we would finger paint all day long. And yet there was a teacher, thank God for her, who had a Gideon Bible. And she came to my school and she saw kids like me as her mission field. And she would give me this Gideon Bible and read to me stories of dysfunctional characters who God used. She would say to me, Ronaldo, God uses greatly those who have been wounded very deeply. He will turn your pain into power, your wounds into wisdom. She had me read the story of Moses, who was also a stutterer. I began to understand that God did love a trick baby. Even as low as I was, there was hope for me and possibility. And when a child begins to understand the love of God and the power of His word and the possibilities, it changes everything. How can a young man keep his way clean? By taking heed according to your word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I began to memorize the Bible, that Gideon Bible, reading 2,000 scriptures. And when you put that kind of word in a life, something begins to happen. My stuttering went away. I stopped wetting the bed. I stood tall. I became valedictorian, became a pastor and priest until everybody in my family got saved. Why? Because somebody placed the Gideon Bible in a woman's hand that changed a life forever. Yes! I was born a trick baby, but the trick was on the devil because of you and the power of the word of God.
Amen. I was 34 years old when I got saved. I was an atheist. I was a very successful businessman, and I had a lumber yard in Gunnison, and a paint salesman from Cedar Edge. He was a Mormon. My brother was diagnosed with acute bone marrow leukemia, and Ted was given 90 days to live by a doctor there at Colorado General. Anyway, Ted came back to Gunnison. We were all Gunnison people at that time. We all, our whole family lived in Gunnison. And I took him to an attorney and had myself appointed as his trustee because I knew when he died, there needed to be someone there to help him, help his family. But during that period of time, God healed my brother of leukemia, acute bone marrow leukemia. And it was through Ted's healing that 26 of our family came to the Lord. It was just before that happened, possibly you've wondered about why there's an Assembly of God church on one end of the property over here and on the other end's a Mormon church. Well, I was in a partnership at that time with that Mormon on that property, That was before I got saved. And they began to pray for me. My business partner in the lumber yard, he got saved in Delta, and him and his wife started praying for us. So I know the power of prayer is available to reach anybody. Even this young man that we just watched this video of, there's no one can be so bad that God can't reach him. And the gospel is so powerful, the work of the Holy Spirit. So I want to thank the church here for allowing me to spend some time with you. What we do have is some needs. Our number one need, of course, is for prayer. And we thank you as a congregation to pray for the Gideon ministry worldwide. Another thing, recently, it used to be we could go to the schools in Delta County and Cedar Ridge and Hotchkiss and actually go into the schools and present testaments. Because of the demonic activity in Peonia, they started wanting to go into the schools too, so the schools begin to limit us. John Rapp and I used to go into the middle school there in Delta, and we would hand out as many as 500 Bibles, John and his wife and I. But now, like I say, last year we were only able to hand out 48 Bibles at the middle school. So we do, the Gideons has come up with a product called the Book of Life. It's actually the Book of John. In the beginning of this Bible, it basically, in the Bible, this scripture of John, it tells a little bit of the history of Israel and the children of Israel. And then it basically just goes through the book of John. And there's comments that students make to one another. And we give these now to youth groups all over America. And last year we handed out over 10 million books of John to school kids by other students taking them in and handing them out. And it's an awesome ministry. So I would ask you to pray for the Life Book, that we're able to reach more students with the Life Book. The other thing, of course, is the Gideon Card Program. And we'll see. I'll visit with the pastor, and we'll see if possibly we can make those available to you for free of charge. I do want to thank Pastor Scroggins for allowing us to come, and appreciate Nick being so helpful. And we're not going to ask for an offering today because the church has just recently given us an offering of $500. That $500 will buy 375 Bibles that will be used internationally, and we thank you for that. We really appreciate that. I did thank you, Nick, for acknowledging our former Gideons that have been a part of this church for years, and we do thank you. And I love opportunities of getting to share. And I do have other things. If anyone wants to talk about the Gideon ministry, another prayer request we have is that you would pray that the Lord would give us some new members. Our camp is probably as small as it's ever been, and we definitely need some new members. Because of COVID, we got stopped on being able to do church presentations for almost 2 years. You did get a bulletin insert in your Bible today, and that bulletin insert, if the Lord speaks to your heart and you want to do something for the Gideon ministry, you can do it through the Gideon bulletin. Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Walt. Thank you for sharing and for the coming and the videos and all. That's good. And it is true, that quote, that the Word of God doesn't return void wherever it goes. It's been about a month ago. I lost the date, but we were talking about, we had a funeral for a man here who came to faith in Vietnam. as he had just gone there and received his Gideon Bible and read it and received Christ before he went into battle. But he lived till 80-something. I forgot the exact number. Let's pray for the Gideons. Lord, we thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness, that whenever the word is put in a place that's accessible and people can hear it, that your spirit is the one who works in their life. You're the one who, Holy Spirit, you're the one who inspires the word, inspires the preservation of it, inspires the propagation of it as it goes out and about in all the various ways, all the various languages, and you're not inhibited at all. In fact, you're very powerful and living and active, and we thank you for that. So we pray for this ministry, we pray for these words that are going out, we pray for our own commitment, individuals, how you want us to participate, our church, as you want us to participate. Lord, I just give you thanks. Pray for this local group in Delta County, that you would increase their number, that you would lower the age. That's one of the things that was mentioned to me, that some energy in young youth can also be a part of sharing this gospel around the world. Thank you, Lord. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.